Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for holding, and welcome to the Башнефть Q2 2014 IFRS Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on Wednesday, the 27th of August, 2014. Certain statements in this presentation may contain assumptions or forecasts with respect to forthcoming events within Башнефть. The words expect, estimate, intend, will, could, negations thereof, and similar expressions identify forward-looking statements. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after the above-mentioned date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results of Башнефть Group to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, general economic conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market changes in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Башнефть Group. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Alexander Kocik. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and good morning. We're happy to talk to you again about the results of Башнефть. As usual, we'll follow our traditional procedure. I'll talk about operational results, and after that, Denis Станкевич will give you a flavor of our financials for the second quarter. But first of all, I would like to spend a couple of moments on issues surrounding the current situation around Башнефть. First of all, you know pretty well that Башнефть shares belonging to Система are blocked. Shareholders are dealing with this issue. As to Башнефть, the company continues to work as usual. Business as usual, everything continues as it was before. And as you can see by our results, and not only the results of the second quarter, but of some of the results which happened after that, the company is doing pretty well. Probably one point I would like to stress is that the situation with the shares of Башнефть does not in any way prevent Башнефть from paying dividends, and it's an issue I will develop on later on. Another issue which has nothing direct relation to operational results is Trefs and Titov. You know again that we have a continuation of the process which happened about 2 years ago when one minority shareholder put forward a legal claim about some problems surrounding transfer of license to Башнефть Polyus. We have the same situation again, but the striking similarity. Again, a minority shareholder which owns a very small portion of Башнефть shares. What I would like to say is that Башнефть and Лукойл have done everything in line, strictly in line with the law and existing regulations. And to my mind, we have nothing to worry about in this respect. About operational results. First of all, about production of crude. Again, the results are pretty good. We have 11.5% growth of second quarter 2014 to the similar quarter of the previous year. The growth comes from three sources. First of all, it's Trefs and Titov. Second, Бурнефтегаз, which was a very good acquisition. I'm quite sure right now that it was a very good acquisition. And the third, the last but not the least, and probably the most important, is the growth in our brownfields. I'm really happy about what is going on in our brownfields. As you remember, we promise every time that we'll have flat production for some foreseeable future, and every time we meet again, there is certain growth. I wish we could continue like that for as long a period of time as possible. And one more point about our production growth. In August this year, It's not second quarter, of course. Our production reached 50,000 tons per day, which is a record since 1994 for Башнефть. Couple of words about refining. We refined slightly higher amount of crude than in the same period of time last year, but it's relates to market conditions. We can refine more, we can refine less. Our refining utilization is defined exactly in line with market situation. We put into production, into operation, another unit in line with our modernization program. It's a unit of gasoline hydrotreatment, and operations of this unit allow us to produce 100% of gasoline of Euro 5. Again, in August, we made another acquisition. It's in retail. We acquired a retail network, one of the largest independent retail networks in Russia, which is called Optan, which consists of 91 gasoline stations and 12 land plots of very good quality, of very good location. And these stations and plots are located in, if I'm not mistaken, in 12 different regions of Russia, which are of primary interest for Башнефть. The last but not the least, we paid significant dividends, as usual, and we have the highest dividend yield in the industry among Russian companies. We are able to pay preliminary dividends for 2014. The financial situation of the company allows us to do it. The decision will be taken, as usual, by the shareholders. And the decision will be taken later on. Again, we can do it, but the shareholders will make a decision based on market conditions prevailing at the time of when we'll be ready to pay the dividends. First of all, our most important criteria is to maintain financial stability. If markets do not deteriorate, there is a very high probability that preliminary dividends will be paid. Basically, that's all about major issues of operations of the company for the period which we are discussing right now. And now I would like to pass the word to Denis Stankevich, our Chief Financial Officer. And after that, we will be happy to answer any of your questions. Thank you very much.
Спасибо, Денис Станкевич. Финансовый директор компании «Башнефть». Несколько слов о макроэкономической ситуации. Если посмотреть на сравнение первого и второго квартала 2014 года, то мы видим, что во втором квартале мы имели более высокую цену на нефть при более высоком курсе доллара, что положительно сказалось на финансовых результатах компании.
Thank you very much. Now it's Denis Stankevich speaking, the CFO of Башнефть Company. A few words about the macroeconomics currently surrounding us. If one is to take a look at the first and second quarter of 2014, one can see that during the second quarter we faced a higher crude price environment against a higher US dollar exchange rate, which positively affected the company's financial results.
Те же самые параметры повлияли на более лучшие финансовые результаты по итогам первого полугодия 2014 года относительно 2013 года. Цена на нефть была выше на 1,3%. При этом курс доллара также существенно превышал курс доллара в 2013 году на 12,9%.
In the similar token, the kind of environment positively affected the results of the first half of the year 2014 compared to 2013, where the crude price was higher by 1.3%. At the same time, the US dollar exchange rate significantly was above the US dollar exchange rate in 2013 by 12.9%.
Кроме того, в соответствии с обычным трендом во втором квартале цены на нефтепродукты внутри российского рынка показывали существенно более высокие значения, нежели это происходит в первом квартале, что позволило нам увеличить выручку от реализации нефтепродуктов в даунстриме.
And moreover, in accordance with the usual trends of playing themselves out during the second quarter, the prices for refined product in the domestic Russian market demonstrated a significantly higher prices than what it shows during the first quarter, which enabled the company to increase its revenue from the sales of the refined product.
Если внимательно посмотреть нашу отчетность, можно увидеть, что мы не снизили значительно остатки нефтепродуктов на наших балансах. Это связано с тем, что мы подготовились к новому виду для себя бизнеса, это реализации бункерного мазута, и создали запасы на перевалках для реализации этих нефтепродуктов в третьем квартале.
And if one is to read through our reports, you can see that we've been able to significantly retain the levels of stock of our refined product as far as our balance of stock is concerned, which can be explained that we prepared ourselves for the new business line of operations, which is the sale of the bunkering and fuel oil, creating the necessary reserves for that particular product to be able to sell it during the third quarter of this year.
Несколько слов об удельных затратах. Если вести речь о переработке, то рост затрат во втором квартале относительно первого, а также в первом полугодии 2014 относительно 2013 был незначительным, и можно считать это колебание просто изменением каких-то текущих параметров. Если же говорить о добыче нефти, то второй квартал относительно первого также роста затрат мы не наблюдали. Если же говорить про первое полугодие относительно первого полугодия 2013 года, здесь зафиксирован рост себестоимости добычи нефти. Связано это прежде всего с тем, что более высокая себестоимость без учета налога на добычу полезных ископаемых, на добычу нефти на ТРЭПСе и ТИТОВе, а также с большим количеством геолого-технических мероприятий, требуемых для увеличения добычи нефти.
And separately, a few words about our average cost. If you are to consider refining, then the growing cost during this current quarter compared to the previous year's one, as well as the year-on-year half-year production, one can explain this particular fluctuations as a simple change in the current operational expenses. But if you separately consider the production of crude in terms of the Q1 and Q2 in comparison, we didn't register any major changes, but as opposed to comparing H1 2014 to H1 2013, we've registered a slight increase in the crude production cost, which can be explained by a higher operational activities without taking into account the high MET for the production of crude at TREPS and TTOF, as well as a greater number of optimization activities related to the output of crude.
Если остановиться на показателях долга на конец второго квартала, вы можете видеть его увеличение относительно конца первого квартала, в то же время снижается показатель чистого долга. Здесь все очень просто. Компания накапливала деньги на счетах, полученные в результате своей операционной деятельности в виде прибыли, и готовилась к выплате дивидендов, которая произошла в июле этого года.
Now, a few words about the company's debt position. By the end of the second quarter, you can see that it has slightly grown as opposed to the end of the Q1, but at the same time, the net debt has gone down, and everything is very straightforward because the company has been accumulating cash in its accounts, which it has earned as a result of its operational activities in the form of profit, while getting ready to do the dividend payout, which occurred in June this year.
Важной новизной отчетности за первое полугодие является то, что мы начали консолидацию месторождений Трепса и Титова в своей отчетности полностью после того, как переместили лицензию на наше дочернее предприятие. И теперь, собственно, произошло то, о чем мы говорили на протяжении достаточно продолжительного периода времени. Лицензия переведена. В то же время выручка полностью и EBITDA консолидируются на нашем балансе, и 25% чистой прибыли передаются нами компании Лукойл как нашему партнеру.
An important novelty in our reporting for the first half is that we started consolidating the Trepson Titov field in our books. Completely after we have transferred the license to our subsidiary. And so basically what we have been continuously speaking about has happened, and specifically meaning that the license has been completely transferred while the revenue and EBITDA is being fully consolidated in our books, and the 25% of the net profit is what we pass over to the Lukoil company as our partner.
И в заключение своего выступления напомню о том факте, что рейтинговое агентство Moody's повысило прогноз по корпоративному рейтингу Башнефти на уровень BA2 со стабильного на позитивный.
And in conclusion of my part of the presentation, I would like to remind us that Moody's has improved the outlook for the Башнефть corporate rating to the BA2 level. From stable to positive.
Спасибо.
Thank you very much.
Operator, please, we would like to start Q&A session.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, it's star and one if you wish to ask a question. And your first question comes from the line of Anton Fedotov of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and my congratulations on the strong set of your results. I have two questions. My first question relates to the interim dividend that Mr. Korsik mentioned as a probability for this year. What can be the approximate size of it? And my second question relates to your debt situation. What are your refinancing needs for this and for the next year? Thank you.
Большое спасибо за хорошие результаты. Два вопроса. Первый вопрос касается выплаты промежуточных дивидендов. Господин Корсак упомянул вероятность этой выплаты. То какой планируется приблизительно размер к выплате? Второй вопрос касается долговой позиции компании. Каковы потребности компании в рефинансировании в периоде текущего года, а также и на следующий год?
Well, I'm not sure whether we can disclose the amount which could be paid as interim dividends. I do not think so. We have a certain amount in mind. I can refer only to our non-written dividends policy. We pay all the remaining cash flow to the shareholders in case it doesn't jeopardize financial stability of the company. And the decision will be taken by the shareholders, but as usual, shareholders can expect healthy dividends from the company. As to the second question, I would like to ask Denis Tankevich to answer it.
На второй вопрос я, наверное, чуть более развернуто отвечу. Я понимаю, что коллег, видимо, интересует в целом ликвидность компании, связанная с тем, что сегодня непростая ситуация на рынках капитала. Если говорить про текущий год, то компания не нуждается в дополнительном рефинансировании вообще. У нас нет какого-либо количества существенного погашений, которое нам бы требовалось рефинансировать. Мы фактически проводим только амортизацию PXF-ов. То, что касается этого года, мы очень хорошо отработали во втором квартале и с нашим портфелем долговым и сдвинули все выплаты по нему на следующие годы. То, что касается года следующего, то я точную цифру сейчас не назову, но она находится в пределах 20 миллиардов рублей, ну плюс-минус там 10% от этой цифры, и мы полностью готовы к ее рефинансированию. Я думаю, что если ситуация на международных рынках не уладится, то мы это рефинансирование сделаем при помощи российских банков. В случае же, если ситуация будет какой-то экстремально тяжелой с финансированием, я уверен, что нам хватит собственных ресурсов и возможностей работы с оборотным капиталом для того, чтобы с этой ситуацией справиться. Спасибо.
I will give you a slightly more elaborate explanation. I do understand that the colleagues are probably interested to learn more about the liquidity of the company, explained by the fact that the capital market environment is not an easy one. So if we are to speak about the current year, the company is not in the need for any additional financing whatsoever. We don't have any coming maturity of a material nature that we would need to refinance. We are simply doing the amortization of our PXFs. As far as this year is concerned, we did a very good job in the second quarter with our debt portfolio and were able to carry forward all of the payments as far as it is concerned for the next year. And as far as the next year is concerned, I am not in a position to give you an exact figure. It is somewhere about 20 billion ruble, give or take 10% from it. And we are fully ready to refinance it. And I think that if the situation in the capital markets doesn't improve, we will do this refinancing seeking the help of the Russian banks. And in case the situation becomes an extreme one in terms of difficulties, the company will have enough of its own resources and will do some work with its working capital in order to be able to overcome it. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Artem Konchan of Otkrit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. My question actually concerns your prepayment agreement on the oil products supply. I was curious if you could add some more details on this contract. It says in your statements that this was done for the purpose of a delivery of a non-financial item in accordance with the expected sale requirements. So this is not quite, I'm not sure what to read from this. And also I noticed that the reimbursements are starting from 2016, meaning you will only be shipping the products in 2016 and will be holding on to this money for a full year. So I'm curious if you had to provide some kind of arrangement or a benefit to the lender to be able to sustain this kind of delay. Thanks. Any details would be appreciated. Thank you.
Вопрос касается договора об предварительной поставке нефтепродуктов. Хотелось бы узнать подробности этих договоренностей с учетом сделанных заявлений касательно обеспечения нефинансового характера в соответствии с имеющимися договоренностями и условиями, прописанными в этом контракте. Также я отмечаю, что с 2016 года вы планируете поставки только в этот период, и получается, в течение года средства будут у вас оставаться, поэтому интересно, не могли бы вы поделиться какими-то подробностями относительно заключенных договоренностей, в рамках которых кредитор будет готов на эти условия пойти, поэтому будет благодарен за какие-либо подробности, поясняющие ситуацию.
Ну, наверное, я могу ответить. Значит, соглашение заключено, сторонами сделки являются мы, компания Vitol, как офтейкер, и консорциум банков, основную долю в котором имеет Société Générale. Вот, соглашение заключено на 5 лет с постепенной выборкой. Ставка, я сейчас, к сожалению, точно не помню, но это находится в районе 1,9, может быть, чуть меньше, это ставка all-in по кредитованию. Мы можем поставлять, основным продуктом является нефть, но контракт гибкий, мы можем его менять на дизельное топливо. И, собственно, наверное, все из таких подробностей. Если говорить об объеме, то, собственно говоря, можно просто разбить вот те 500 миллионов, которые мы получили в качестве этого препеймента на количество месяцев и получить тот объем, который мы обязаны поставить по этому контракту. Точно объем можно фиксироваться ежемесячно, прошу прощения, и зависит от того, какой же продукт мы поставляем. Но в любом случае, если мне память не изменяет, это не больше 50 тысяч тонн нефти либо нефтепродуктов в течение одного месяца. Наверное, важной составляющей является вопрос цены. Так вот, если говорить о той цене, которая зафиксирована в контракте, то она не является неизменной. Мы, как и прежде, проводим ежегодно конкурс на того, кто у нас покупает нефть и нефтепродукты, и в случае, если мы видим на рынке лучшую цену, нежели зафиксировано в контракте, мы эту цену вносим и в контрактные условия. Тоже такие были наши соглашения с компанией Vitol. Поэтому мы считаем, что заключенный нами контракт является абсолютно рыночным, а с точки зрения условий финансирования, то вот в том состоянии рынков капитала, который есть сейчас, в общем, фактически, наверное, таких условий уже на сегодня нет, чтобы можно было заключить в нынешних условиях контракт на подобных финансовых условиях. Спасибо.
The contract has been entered into, and the parties to this arrangement is us and the Vitol company as an off-taker and a consortium of banks where the primary position is held by SocGen. This agreement has been entered into for the term of 5 years with a gradual off-taking. Now, the rate, unfortunately, I cannot give an exact quote. It's somewhere about 1.9, maybe slightly less as far as the lending rate is concerned. We have the main product in it as crude, but we can change that for the diesel fuel as well, so this position is flexible. And as far as the major details are concerned, this is it. But if we are to consider additional nuances and specifically the price, you can take the 500 million that we have received as a prepayment and divide it by the number of months in the contract to come up with the volume that we are obliged to ship under this contract. Now, the exact volume is fixed on a monthly basis, and depending upon the kind of product that we are to ship. But if my memory serves me right, this is not to exceed 50,000 tons of oil or the refined product in the course of 1 month. an important component is the issue of pricing. So if we are to talk about the price that is written into the contract, it is not a fixed item. As previously, we are on an annual basis do the tendering between the buyers who take off our refined products and crude. And in case we see a better price being offered, we also reflect this price in our contract. And so these are the conditions that we have signed up under together with VTOL. And so we believe that that proves our contract to be completely market-based. But in case you are separate to consider the ability to have something like that on a recurring basis, I don't think that considering the current market environment, it would be difficult to enter into a contract upon similar terms and conditions.
Thank you very much for such a detailed answer.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Gregory Birk of InvestCase. Please go ahead.
Hello. I have two questions. First is regarding your international activities. Could you please provide some commentary on Burma and Iraq? So my question is this your new project in Myanmar, is this a single once-off event, or is the company going to pursue perhaps other projects abroad? And regarding Myanmar, is your interest in the country solely with the upstream, or are there plans to perhaps ship oil or products to the country? And the second question is regarding the dividend policy. Are there still plans to adopt a new dividend policy which is going to be close to the actual? And when should we expect the decision regarding that? Thank you.
Два вопроса. Первый вопрос касается международной деятельности компании. Не могли бы вы поделиться или прокомментировать тем, что компания сегодня делает в Бирме и в Ираке? И касательно вашего проекта в Мьянме, является ли это каким-то разовым проектом, разным мероприятием, или же компания строит планы дальнейшей работы в Мьянме и планирует не только ограничиваться своим присутствием в даунстриме, но также и развивать какие-то другие бизнес-направления в работе в этом регионе. Второй вопрос касается дивидендной политики компании. Вы говорили о планах, заключающихся в принятии новой дивидендной политики. Если так, то как она будет отличаться от той, которая сейчас имеет в виду, и когда можно ожидать принятия решения по этому вопросу?
I think I'll answer both of these questions about our activities abroad in Iraq. We finished 2D seismic in July. And from the 1st of August, we started 3D seismic. When we finish 3D seismic, there will be a period when we'll make an interpretation, and not many things will be happening during that time. Fortunately, our oil field, our area of operations is not affected by the insurgents. And we're quite far away from that, so we're able to continue our work as it was before. As to Myanmar, we signed a production sharing agreement about a couple of weeks ago. Right now we're in the process of preparing for 2D and 3D seismic. As to further projects in Myanmar or anywhere abroad, the position of the company is still the same. We do not believe that our activities abroad are a major direction of our strategy. We still concentrate all our efforts in Russia. We have a lot to do in Russia, and unless there are some spectacular projects abroad, we are not looking actively for other kind of projects. If something materializes For example, Myanmar, which is extremely good, we can consider the opportunity, but for the time being, there are no plans of doing anything else except for the projects we currently have, both in Iraq and in Myanmar. As to formal dividends policy, Grigory, you are absolutely right. We should accept the policy which will be much closer to the reality of what we're doing in practice in terms of our dividends. Right now, we're still in the process of fine-tuning this policy, and as soon as it will be ready and as soon as the board of directors decides it's a proper time to accept this policy, it will be done. I don't want to give you any dates. We're not in a hurry because our actions show what our real dividends policy is, so there is no hurry, but at a certain point of time, of course, so we would like to match our practice with our papers, with our formal dividends policy. Right now we're in the process of fine-tuning. Of course, we cannot accept the dividends policy which would allow shareholders to understand exactly how much will be paid, when it will be paid, but it will be much closer to our current practices. Again, we are fine-tuning the policy. As soon as it will be ready, we'll put it on the agenda of the board of directors. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Olga Danilenko of Prosperity. Please go ahead.
Здравствуйте. Большое спасибо за презентацию. Мой вопрос про вклад компании «Бурнефтегаз» и «Треция Титова», если можно раздельно, в финансовый результат «Башнефти» за второй квартал или за первое полугодие. Спасибо.
The question is about the contribution that was made by «Бурнефтегаз» company and «Треция Титова». So if, could you possibly quote separately, you know, this contribution into the financial results of the company during H1 this year?
No. I'm not sure whether Denis will be give.
Да, я, к сожалению, да, я, к сожалению, наверное, не отвечу сейчас. Да, может быть, мы просто позже вернемся, дошлем эти цифры.
We can return on this issue, but I believe that financial input from these two projects is insignificant in comparison to financial flows which are being created by our brownfields and our refineries, because the projects are still in their initial stage and we're spending a lot, so we do not expect any real free cash flow in forthcoming future from these projects. For the time being, there is a very significant capex, both in Treps and Titov and Burneftegaz. Production is still far from peak production, and we should expect the input from these projects to be significant in some more distant future. For the time being, it's not significant, but in any case, we'll come with exact numbers offline. Thank you very much.
Я только, может, добавлю, что это в любом случае там меньше 3%, так что тут можно.
And Denis Sankevich is saying that this is less than 3%, so it is really worth waiting for until next time.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Ivan Kromushin of Gazprombank. Please go ahead.
Добрый вечер. У меня два вопроса. Первый вопрос касается предоплат. Полностью ли выбрана предоплата в рамках контракта с Витолом, или есть еще некоторые возможности по ее увеличению? И видите ли вы возможности и планируете ли прорабатывать в дальнейшие возможности по заключению контрактов на поставку нефти и нефтепродуктов с предоплатами, с другими контрагентами? И второй вопрос касается дивидендной политики, он достаточно общий. Можно ли сейчас в текущих условиях ожидать в целом некоторое увеличение консервативности дивидендной политики с учетом всей ситуации как бы в компании и в целом экономике? Спасибо.
So there are two questions. The first one is about the prepayment. Has the prepayment been fully made as part of the contract with Vitol? Do you expect it to grow And do you see any other opportunities, or are you working on any additional opportunities to enter into the possible contracts for the supply of crude and the refined products with other counterparties? And the second question about the dividend policy is a general one. Is it possible to expect under current conditions any strengthening of the conservative approach to the dividend policy, considering the current environment generally, as well as the one surrounding the company specifically? Thank you.
Ну, на первый вопрос, наверное, я отвечу. То, что касается препеймента по ВИДОЛу, на сегодняшний день эта сумма выбрана полностью. Она заключалась на определенную сумму и действительно закрывалась двумя траншами, но на сегодняшний день все закончено, полностью предоплата получена. Если говорить про другие возможности в этом направлении, да, у нас есть предложение от других компаний-трейдеров, ну, по величине и по значимости таких же крупных, как ВИТОЛ. Мы эти возможности сейчас прорабатываем наряду с другими возможностями по финансированию. Как вы понимаете, здесь основной вопрос стоит, опять же, во взаимоотношениях с глобальными банками и в тех возможностях, в тех ковенантах, которые вписываются сейчас в соглашение по финансированию, каким бы это соглашение ни было, либо это unsecured, либо это вот prepayment, либо что угодно. Сейчас основная проблема в том вординге, который пытаются вписать банки по возможным санкциям. Поэтому, скажем так, мы на эту тему смотрим сдержанно, как я уже говорил в ответе на предыдущий вопрос, мы на сегодняшний день в рефинансировании либо в дополнительном финансировании острой нужды не испытываем, поэтому, естественно, на любой вординг по условиям, по ковенантам и по санкциям соглашаться не будем. Но, в принципе, такие предложения поступают, мы их рассматриваем. Спасибо.
So the first question is being answered by Denis Stankevich. As far as the prepayment under the VTOL contract is concerned, as of today, the amount has been completely paid because it has been entered into for a specific amount, and it has been paid in two tranches, and as of today, it has completely been paid. Now, separately speaking, about other possibilities or opportunities which might be similar to the VTOL's one. We do have other offers from different traders who, in terms of their market weight, are as big and serious as VTOL. We are looking into these opportunities as well as we're looking into other financing opportunities. But as you may understand, it might and should involve our relationship with the global banks as well as the covenants which are currently being written into the financing arrangement, no matter what kind of contract it is, be it an unsecured one or on the basis of prepayment or whatever. So the basic problem is in the wording that the banks are trying to put into the contract drafts. So I would say that we are being very reserved in terms of our attitude towards these opportunities. We are, as I said in my answer to one of the previous questions, the company is not having any urgent need for financing. So we are being very attentive towards the covenants and the text. But we are considering all of the offers that we receive.
Если можно небольшое уточнение, 17 миллиардов – это два транша или только первый транш? Спасибо.
Нет, это 500 миллионов долларов – два транша.
So additional question was whether the figure of 17 billion was just in two tranches or was it one tranche? No, those were two tranches, 500 million each.
И по дивидендам.
As to the second question about dividends policy becoming more or less conservative, I would like to say that it remains as conservative as it was before. The sheer fact that we are paying very significant dividends doesn't mean that we have a liberal dividends policy. Every time we look at the markets and we look at what we can afford as management, and we advise our shareholders in line with current market conditions. The same situation exists right now. We'll still use the same rules. We'll pay all free cash flow, but only on one condition, that we do not jeopardize financial stability of the company. If you mean by the policy becoming more conservative, the fact that in case the markets are bad, we would advise paying small dividends, you are absolutely right. But it doesn't mean that the policy becomes more or less conservative. It's still conservative as it was before, and I would like to stress that in no case we'll advise our shareholders to do any kind of action which would jeopardize financial stability. And I would say our shareholders are well, very positive in their reaction to this approach. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Vitaly Borov of SED. Please go ahead.
Добрый день. У меня один вопрос касаемо той ситуации в суде. То есть, насколько мы знаем, что акции Башнефти сейчас заблокированы. И я хотел бы спросить, как вы вообще видите вот, развитие данных событий, какой-то вот позитивный вариант и негативный вариант, и, как, и что для этого должно случиться?
The question is about the current situation that is in court. You know, we know that the Башнефть shares have been blocked. So what is the way that you can see the situation may further develop in terms of positive scenario or negative scenario? What what kind of events may happen?
Well, I'm not sure whether I'll give you an exact answer to your question, but what I would like to say, I'm not in a position to make any guesses, especially educated guesses. I believe very much that the government and the courts will do their job properly, and ultimately the situation will return to their normal, and it's a positive scenario, and I believe that we should trust that it is going to happen. Meanwhile, I would like to add that everybody in the company and every stakeholder in the company has his or her own responsibilities. Responsibilities of the shareholders is to deal with issues of this kind that you have just described. My own responsibility and the responsibility of people sitting around this table in this conference room and not being present here is to continue to work as we were working before and to achieve the highest possible results for the shareholders. And I believe that we have managed to do that. If you're asking about the climate in the company, it's a normal working climate. Everybody believes that everybody will be resolved in a very positive manner, and the company continues to develop. It continues to make capex. It continues to make opex. It continues to make acquisitions, and you've seen a couple of results. I've given you a couple of results of that. So the company is quite positive about the all possible outcomes. Thank you very much.
Спасибо большое.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Andrei Kromadin of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Да, добрый вечер. Два коротких вопроса, если можно, по поводу долга. Вот если прибавить вот этот prepayment и, собственно, прибавить еще выплату дивидендов, которая в июле случится, то получается, что общий долг, он составляет где-то порядка 4-6 миллиардов долларов. А вам комфортно с таким уровнем долга, который составляет порядка полутора EBITDA годовой? И если можно, поясните, в каких банках вы берете, вот продлили кредиты, то есть основные кредиторы компании кто?
Это уже два вопроса?
А второй будет после,
хорошо,
если можно.
Хорошо, да, пожалуйста.
Ага.
Сейчас перейдем. So the first of the two brief questions is about the debt. So if one is to add on top of the Vitol agreement the dividends of payment that has to take place in July, it would mean that the overall debt would amount to about $5.46 billion. Does the company find this level of debt comfortable, which amounts to approximately 1.5 annual EBITDA? And if possible, could you also explain which are the banks that you are working as far with as far as this particular financing is concerned? Who are your main lenders?
Насчет полтора EBITDA, да, вы все верно посчитали, примерно так оно и есть, и уровень долга полтора EBITDA мы считаем для нас комфортным. Что хотелось бы отметить, мы, собственно, всегда говорили, что у нас есть ограничение по соотношению долг EBITDA, это 2, и выше этого уровня мы выходить не намерены, но в то же время вот это соотношение между единицей, с которой мы зашли в начало года, и двумя, которые являются для нас ограничением, это и есть тот размер возможностей, который мы можем себе позволить, прежде всего осуществляя сделки M&A. И как вы знаете, у нас в этом году две таких сделки состоялись, одна в апстриме, другая в ритейле, и с точки зрения нашей компании вместе они являются довольно крупными, потому что составляют там вместе в районе 1,3 миллиарда долларов. Поэтому, собственно, да, мы понимаем, на что мы шли, и, собственно, уровень 1,5 EBITDA для нас вполне комфортен и для нашей финансовой устойчивости приемлем. С точки зрения банков, ну, скажем так, у нас есть отношения со всеми крупными российскими банками, это и ВТБ, и Сбербанк, и Газпромбанк. У нас есть отношения и с нашими банками глобальными, которые у нас прежде всего участвуют в наших продуктах, таких как PXF и Prepayment, я называл Cité General. Состав банков PXF там значительно более широкий, там много банков, ну, практически все известные имена, я поэтому, наверное, повторять их не буду. Ну и, кроме прочего, у нас есть облигации, размещенные российские, где участвуют достаточно много разных инвесторов, ну, которые как банки, так и не банки, собственно говоря. Вот, пожалуй, такой ответ. Спасибо.
So, as far as 1.5 EBITDA level is concerned, yes, you were very correct in your estimation. That is almost exactly like that. So we believe that 1.5 EBITDA is an acceptable level to us. Specifically, I would like to say that we've always been saying previously that we have a limitation in terms of the debt to EBITDA, which is the level of 2, and we had never intended to go above that level, but at the same time, the level that we showed when entering into the year is exactly the kind of a possible range in between 1 to 2, which we can afford whenever we go for an M&A activity. And as you might know, this year, two M&A activities that did take place this year in upstream and in downstream. And from the point of view of this company, together, they amount to a major in a transaction in a category, both coming up to $1.3 billion. Therefore, yes, we are completely aware of what we were going to do, and so we find this level very much in a comfortable one and not being detrimental to our financial stability. And as far as the banks are concerned, let me say that we do maintain a relationship with all of the major Russian banks, such as VTB, Sberbank, and Gazprom Bank. And we do have relationships with our global banks who, in the first place, I should say, participate in such of our products as PXS and prepayment. Societe Generale has already been mentioned. The list of those who are on PXS side are much broader. There are quite a few of them there, you know, all of the well-known names. I'm not going to run the list. And apart from it, we also have the bond placement that we did for the Russian market, where there are quite a few investors participating, both banking and non-banking ones. So I guess this is the answer. Thank you.
Большое спасибо. Если можно, короткий вопрос. Вот, если учесть все, что вы сказали по поводу долга и дивидендов. Я правильно понимаю, что если дивиденд будет, то это будет скорее уровень недавно полученного препеймента, чем уровень последних двух выплат, там больше миллиарда долларов. Спасибо.
And the second question is this. If one takes into account the amount of the prepayment and the dividend payment, if the dividend is to take place, that would be the level of the recently received prepayment rather than the level of the previous two dividend payments, which was slightly in excess of $1 billion.
Probably I'll answer this question. I believe that in case I don't give you an exact answer of what amount of dividends it will be, the third question will be, what amount of dividends are you going to pay? And the answer is, we don't know yet. We have a certain amount in our minds. We have a certain amount in our business plan. For the time being, we can afford to pay this amount, but we'll look very attentively at the markets around us, and we look attentively at the markets not only in real time, but we'll look for some focus. And after that, we'll advise our shareholders which amount of dividends should be paid. Unfortunately, I cannot give you more detailed information on that, because it remains to be seen. We'll see what the situation is. If it's a rosy picture and a fantastic situation, fantastic future, dividends will be higher. If it's not that rosy, we'll advise our shareholders to have lower dividends than we expect to pay right now. But I can't give you any amounts. But dividends policy is as stated. We pay all remaining cash flow without any risks for financial stability of the company. Thank you.
Many thanks.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Alexandra Falkoda of Sberbank. Please go ahead.
Добрый день, коллеги. Большое спасибо за звонок. У меня два коротких вопроса. Первый. Могли бы вы поделиться своими ожиданиями по полному объему капитальных инвестиций в этом году и в следующем? И второй вопрос, соответственно, первый вопрос – это как бы интересная цифра в разрезе сегментов добыча и переработка. И то же самое в сегменте добыча в разрезе проектов – Трепса, Титов, Бурнефтегаз и, соответственно, Браунфилд проекты. Спасибо.
Two short questions. The first one is, could you please share with us your expectation in terms of the full capital investments amount for this year as well as for the next year? And respectively, on this particular point, could you split it in between the production and refining segments in your plans, as well as the same in between the projects that you are going to do, which are the Trepson Titov, Bruneftegas, and any other major projects that the company is working on?
Коллеги, я вот думаю, что, наверное, мы не готовы сейчас раскрывать цифры более подробные на будущее, чем мы раскрыли на Дне инвестора. Там данные есть. Вот более подробно про следующий год мы говорить, наверное, пока не будем, тем более, что процесс бюджетного планирования следующего года только стартовал. И, соответственно, сейчас мы находимся в этом процессе. Совет директоров примет окончательный бюджет в декабре месяце, и тогда уже будет ясно, какие точные капитальные вложения будут в следующем году. А все менее подробно есть в нашей презентации к Дню инвестора. Там, в общем, и проекты все поименованы, которые мы делаем. Сейчас мы не планируем как-то от данной стратегии отступать. Если говорить про год текущий, то собственно говоря, эти капитальные вложения будут больше, чем в году предыдущем. Скажем так, их динамику вы уже сейчас можете видеть по нашей отчетности. Если говорить про сегмент upstream, то мы значительно больше бурим в этом году. Это касается месторождений, которые находятся в Башкирии. Мы на месторождениях Трепса и Титова также большую часть денег, больше, чем в предыдущем году, тратим на бурение, потому что то, что касается инфраструктуры для первого этапа разработки месторождений, мы это сделали в основном в прошлом году, в этом году уже только доделываем. И то, что касается бурнефтегаза, да, мы купили компанию, про которую мы уже говорили, где, в общем, это не является гринфилдом, но также не является и развитым месторождением. Там мы также тратим деньги на бурение скважин. Если вот между этими тремя проектами сделать разделение, то, наверное, максимальный из них будет Трепс-Титова. Чуть меньше капитальных вложений на зрелых месторождениях, ну и вот минимальный на бурнефтегазе. То, что касается нефтепереработки, то было уже сказано, что мы закончили установку по гидротиске бензина от крекинга. Кроме того, мы уже в третьем квартале закончили строительство установки, сейчас она находится в пробной эксплуатации, эта установка по производству водорода, все это абсолютно в рамках нашей стратегии реализуется, и мы делаем вложение, вот, тем самым заканчиваем работу по улучшению качества бензина, и, как говорил Александр Леонидович, мы готовы уже выпускать 100% бензина качества Евро-5. Кроме того, мы уже сейчас готовы и дизельное топливо качества Евро-5 выпускать, просто пока это не нужно для того, чтобы сдавать систему Транснефть. Вот такое разделение, но саму сумму, я думаю, что мы еще внутри обсудим, если это будет возможно, мы вернемся к вам с этой цифрой чуть позже и дадим ее. Но вот прямо сейчас я ее раскрывать не готов.
Хорошо, спасибо. Большое спасибо.
I think that we are not ready completely at this point in time to disclose these figures for the future, as opposed to what we've shared out during the investor day presentation, which has this information. So I would abstain speaking in detail about the next year, particularly since the process of the budget planning for next year has started very recently, and so respectively the company is working on this right now, and the final budget is going to be adopted in December, and that is when we would be able to know for sure what will be our level of capital spending for next year. But the information with a lesser level of granularity can be found in our presentation during the Investor Day, and we were not planning and are not planning to step away from our current strategy. Separately speaking about the current year spending, I would say that these capital investments are going to exceed in terms of the size than what they were last year, and the exact dynamics is what you are able to monitor in our reports. Separately speaking about upstream, I would say that we've been able to drill significantly more this year, and that applies primarily to the fields located in Bashkortostan. As far as Trepsin and Tito field is concerned, we are similarly dedicating much greater amount of investments to drilling, and as far as the infrastructure development for the first phase of our operations is concerned, that was done last year, so this year we're only finishing it. As far as Burneftigas is concerned, we have acquired the company like we previously stated, and it cannot be described as a greenfield opportunity, but similarly it is not a mature field, and there we are spending money on drilling wells. So in between these three projects, if you are to split what we have to incur in terms of investments. The maximum amount will go to TRETS and TTOR, for exactly lesser amount to the other two. And so as far as Burneftgaz is concerned, we are at a minimal level. And as far as the refining is concerned, as it has been stated, we have completed the installation of the hydrocracking unit. And in the third quarter, we have finished the construction and are now doing the trial operation of the hydrogen unit. And this is part of our overall strategy. We are doing this work to complete our program to improve the gasoline quality. And as Alexander Kotsek stated, we are almost ready to stop producing the Euro 5 quality motor fuels, and as well as the diesel fuels as well. It's just that we are delaying slightly in order to first prepare ourselves to deliver that into the Transneft system. So that is the overall situation. And with your permission, as far as exact figures are concerned, we will get back to you with them later. We're not ready to give you full sort of specific data at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you. And there are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you on our next results conference call, which is scheduled for the second half of November. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.